Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, fellow infidels, and welcome to another episode of The Danger Zone here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, and last week, if you missed last week's show, I did a rant, for lack of a better term. It was more just getting things off my chest as to how, shall we say, disappointed. Yeah, I guess I'll use the word disappointed I am. How frustrated I am. Maybe frustrated is a better word. At the overall situation happening around the world, no matter what you're talking about, whether it's the rise of anti-Semitism, the rise of Islam, the overall left-leaning people and governments and media that seem to have their head in the sand. And it's just so frustrating. It doesn't matter how much we talk about it, people. It doesn't matter how many figures and facts we throw out there. It really is the truth. If you want to say that it doesn't seem like anti-Semitism is on the rise, anti-Semitism is on the rise. It doesn't seem like Islam is doing the best they've ever done when it comes to portraying themselves as the victim. They really are doing the best they've ever done as portraying themselves as the victim. Whether you looked at what's going on the border with Israel and Gaza, whether you look at what's going on in Europe, whether you want to pick a specific area and talk about the United Kingdom or narrow it down even further and talk about just London, everything that is going on in the world around us and the left as a whole has their head so deep in the sand, they just don't give a rat's tuchus anymore as to what's happening in the world around them. They would rather report on Stormy Daniels, some once, I guess, popular pornography star, and Donald Trump and this so-called supposed alleged possibility of somewhat where there's smoke, there's fire collusion than what is happening day to day in neighborhoods all around the world that affect each and every one of us. And I am sick of it. So get ready for another show. Not so much like last week, but still on that same page. We'll be back right after this.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
So last week, I was in a mood, to say the least, and I guess that's an understatement. I want to start off by thanking all those that contacted me. I had quite a few emails to my Gadi Edelman account. If you ever want to write me, please feel free. I enjoy the feedback, be it good or bad. I enjoy the feedback, and you can reach me, Gadi@GadiEdelman.com. And if you don't want to write that down or you don't remember the email address, it's in the show notes. Just scroll down to the bottom with all my contact information. You can find me on Twitter @GadiEdelman. You can find me on Facebook. I have two pages. Just look for my name, Gadi Edelman. But I want to thank everybody for the wonderful feedback that I received, because evidently there are a lot more people out there not only listening to the show. I know that here at Israel News Talk Radio, we have a lot of listeners. But, you know, my dad used to say to me when I was growing up, if we were having an argument or a disagreement, and I would say to my dad, I'm listening. And he would say to me, no, you're hearing me. You're not listening to me. And I guess, you know, like most kids, that didn't really sink in until I was a lot older, understanding the difference of when you hear something and when you actually listen to something. And evidently, we have a lot more people listening and understanding this show than I thought. And I really want to thank each and every one of you. You know who you are, who reached out to me and sent me those really, really wonderful, kind emails and notes on Facebook, because I didn't get one bad thing. I honestly, last week's show, I did not receive one negative comment. And I want to thank all you for reaching out. That really does mean a lot to me. And that's what keeps me going. You know, when I know that I'm making some sort of difference, when I know that I'm making some sort of headway, and people are not just hearing me, but they're listening to me, and they're doing what I said. You know, 10 minutes a day, that's all I ask. You give an hour for this program. Maybe you have this playing in the background right now, and you listen to Israel News Talk Radio all day. And that's great. All I ask is 10 minutes a day, read the Quran. And when you're done that, I want you to tackle the Hadith. You can find these online. It will give you so much more understanding as to how Islam thinks and operates. And when you see something in the news, you'll say, now I understand that. Now I get it. Let's take London, for example. You know, I mentioned, and I guess it was last week, it may have been the previous week, I mentioned about how they are outlawing knives in the United Kingdom. Because obviously, you know, when you get rid of guns, well, that doesn't quite stop the violence. All that does is make people utilize a different tool. Because as we've explained on this program so many times before, the gun doesn't wake up in the morning by itself, go for a walk, and decide to kill people. It has to have the individual behind it. The gun is nothing more than a tool. So what happened in the United Kingdom? And why am I even bringing the United Kingdom up? Well, last week, a new report out of the United Kingdom, everybody's been waiting for this report to come out. A new report came out that revealed, get this people, because I mentioned machetes last week on this show, machete attacks are taking place every 90 minutes. A machete attack is taking place every 90 minutes on average in the United Kingdom. Now, this, you know, this is not really anything new. And as a matter of fact, that figure comes off of the end of last year. And I'm just going to quote here from an article that I found. A new report reveals that in the last 2 months of the year 2017, one machete attack occurred every 90 minutes in the United Kingdom. Police dealt with 928 crimes involving a machete, an average of 15 each day, or one every 90 minutes. A shooting and stabbing spree has claimed 56 lives in London alone this year. And that's what I mentioned on last week's show, that the homicides, the murders in London alone have surpassed New York City. Now, that's not saying much for either of those places. But my God, when are you going to wake up and look at what is going on in your own neighborhood? You know, I always talk about it's a numbers game. And I always say, don't listen to just me. Do your own research. But, and it's a big but, after you do your own research, it is then your responsibility to go out and educate others. That is my tagline. That is what you hear me say all the time. It is your responsibility to educate yourself. But after you've done that, you need to educate others. It's a numbers game. Now, why am I throwing that out there again? Because another thing that I often say, almost at every course I give, is think globally, but act locally. We are not going to change the world individually. We are going to change our neighborhood. That is how it works. That is why it's a numbers game. I by myself cannot change the world, but you can bet your butt that I can change where I live. One voice, one person, and I gather like-minded people around me, I can change my immediate area, my neighborhood. And if there's an individual out there in each other area, this is the numbers game of how we can change the world together. Let me get back to this article. Machete attacks are associated with murder, rape, burglaries. Although the media and the police won't publicly state that the majority of the perpetrators are Muslim men. Let me repeat that. The media and the police won't publicly state that the majority of the perpetrators are Muslim men. Now, let's all remember that machetes came into the public eye, the use thereof in London, back in May 2013, when the British soldier Lee Rigsby was butchered in broad daylight by two Islamic men. Now, the majority of these attacks that occurred in the United Kingdom, the majority actually occurred in London. 425 of them. Greater Manchester had 99. The West Midlands had 77. And then there was 29 each in Merseyside and West Yorkshire. Over the same period, only 100 knife crimes were committed 3 years ago. This is a report that came out for from the Office of National Statistics in the United Kingdom. And it reported that in the year 2017, get this, there were 37,443 knife-related offenses. Now, that's anything involving a sharp instrument. That was a 21% increase from the previous year. And last year was the highest number of reported knife-type crimes since the government began recording them 7 years ago. This is beyond ludicrous. This is really beyond ludicrous. And again, we only have one place to put the blame. And that is on the governments of these different countries throughout the world that have sung Kumbaya, spread their arms wide open, and said, "Come all ye refugees." And then when they see, and they know, when they see what is happening with the statistics of murder, rape, slavery, and when I say slavery, I'm talking about these grooming gangs. When they see what is happening, they refuse to admit it. Why is it so difficult for any government, any politician, or for any media outlet for that matter, to say, you know what? We screwed up. Okay, we're human. We made a mistake. We tried to be the better individual. We tried to be caring and compassionate. And we invited these individuals into our backyard. And now we are suffering the circumstances. And we're going to stop it. We're going to put our foot down. Why is it so difficult for the left to just say, okay, we screwed up. We're sorry, but now we're going to fix it? Are they that afraid of admitting that they might have been wrong? Are they that afraid of admitting that they made a mistake? Or are they just afraid of admitting the truth because their love of diversity is greater than the love of their own people, their own countrymen, their own constituents? Is it really that difficult? to admit you screwed up? Because you're never going to change it if you don't admit that you made a mistake. It is time that the governments throughout the world that have done this stand up and admit they made a mistake. I don't even care if you apologize. Take that first step, admit you made a mistake. Then you can begin to change it. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
You've heard me say in the past that if you refuse to identify the enemy, you're never going to defeat the enemy. You cannot begin a battle if you don't know who the enemy is. And I don't care if it's a battle of words, if it's a battle of laws, if it's a battle with violence. Regardless of what type of battle it is, you have to identify the enemy. Well, you know, the same holds true when it comes to admitting that you made a mistake. You are never going to be able to go back and fix that mistake if you don't admit you made a mistake. Now, if the governments throughout the world end up having the spine, the backbone, to stand up and admit, okay, we screwed up and we made a mistake, if they're ever willing to do that, then, and only then, can they begin to fix the problem. It's not going to be a surprise to the people that live in those countries. It's not going to be a surprise to somebody if they're living in the United Kingdom today, right now, and they hear one of these people from the United Kingdom, from Parliament, get up and say, okay, we screwed up. We really, really made a mistake. And a lot of people have lost their lives over it, and we're going to fix it. That's not going to be a surprise to anybody. Might be a surprise that you're admitting that you made a mistake, but the fact that you're admitting that the problem is because of those that you allowed into your country, that is not going to be a surprise to those living there. They know it exists. Believe me, you can't walk down the street in any of these countries. I don't care if it's France. I don't care if it's the United Kingdom. I don't care if it's an area of the United States where they have a refugee enclave. You're not going to surprise any of the people that live there if you say to them, hey, guess what? The problem you're having with the rise of crime, the rise of homicides, the rise of rape, the rise of slavery, that's because of these refugees we allowed in. They are not going to be shocked by this. They know it's going on. All you are doing is embarrassing yourself by not admitting you screwed up. Why it is so difficult for these politicians and governments, and yes, the mainstream media who just gets their talking points directly from those same politicians, why it is so hard for them to admit this is beyond me. What are they waiting for? The only politicians that we ever see that seem to change their tune are those that were affected by it themselves. They're on the welcome refugee bandwagon. They're on the diversity bandwagon. They're on the, oh, these poor, downtrodden refugees. We are so much better. We're going to let them in bandwagon until it affects someone in their own family. That's when you see the switch. And we've seen it before. This is not a surprise. Wake up. You can do so much. You listening to me right now can do so much by picking up the phone, opening your laptop and just writing a letter or making a phone call to your local politician. You are a constituent. They listen to you. Believe me, they do. I have spoken to senators and congressmen and women in the United States, and they will tell you that when they receive a notice from one of their constituents, whether it be by phone or by email, they count that one notice as 50. Think about that. They count that one notice as 50 of their constituents. Why do they do that? Because they know that not everyone is going to pick up the phone. They know that not everyone is going to shoot an email to them. And they count it that way. That means that if there are 10 people, just 10, that write their politician, that politician is going to count that as 500. This is a numbers game, people. I can't stress that enough. I get mad at my fiance because she spends so much time on her laptop. And I really shouldn't. And don't tell her I said this. She probably won't listen to this show anyway. No, I really shouldn't be upset with her because she is doing exactly what I'm preaching for everyone else to do. She is calling the White House. She is calling congressmen. She is calling senators every single day. And it gets to the point. I know up in Washington, D.C., when she calls, they're like, oh, my God, it's Dee again. That's that crazy lady that calls us about Islam. She's doing exactly what I'm telling others to do. She alone can't do it. I alone can't do it. Start to make a difference. You think that your vote doesn't count? You think you don't make a difference? Try it. If every single person right now listening to the sound of my voice shot a letter off to their local politician demanding that there be a change in whatever you choose, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, you will see a difference. It's a numbers game. They listen to you. They know you are the reason they get votes. That's how it works. We put people in power to make laws to benefit us. How do they get there? They get there because we send them there. Be it Parliament, be it the Senate, be it the White House. We are the ones responsible for them getting and then maintaining that position. I can't stress enough how important it is. Talk to your friends. Don't be afraid to talk to your friends. Let me tell you something. I have lost more people that I thought were friends because of what I do than I care to think about. But I realized a long time ago, if I lose their friendship over this, they were never a friend to begin with. I have friends that are not diehard conservatives. I have friends, for that matter, that aren't even Jewish. Heck, I got friends that are Muslim. Yeah, you heard me. I got friends that are Muslim. They're friends of mine, and we may not agree on everything all the time, but they remain to be friends. And if you lose a friendship over this, they were never a friend to begin with. It boggles my mind that we have gotten to the point in this day and age that we are so divided. Politics, and I can only thank President Obama for this. I mean, this is all Obama's doing. Whether you look at the division happening in the United States, and it's carried through to Canada, it's carried through to Europe. You look at the division between black and white. Look at the division with the police. Look at what is happening to our police. Not just in the United States, but throughout the world. You don't think that Obama had something to do with that? Go back and read what he has said and what he did to law enforcement. We can see it here in the United States, and it is really bad. We've had more cops killed in the United States year to date. We've had more year to date, almost double the amount we had this same time year to date last year. There is a war on cops. Now, I'm a backer of the police. Are all the police good? No. But there aren't good people in any profession. You're gonna have bad apples. But the overall majority of the men and women that put a uniform on every day and strap a target on their back, and what I mean by putting a target on their back is as soon as they put on that badge, they become a target. They didn't go into that profession because they want to kill people. They didn't go into that profession because they hate African Americans or they hate colored people. And I say colored being not meaning that in a racist term for those listening to think I'm a racist. I say colored for an individual of any color, be them Asian, be them Hispanic, be them African American. They don't go into that profession wanting to hurt people. They do it because they want to better their communities. What we see happening, these are all connected. Whether it's the rise in murder, the rise in cop killings, the rise in Islam being the victim, it is all connected. Look at it, people. Connect the dots. Look at where it's coming from. Look at what your kids are learning in school. Look at what the mainstream media is putting out there day after day after day. Is it any wonder that we are so divided? Whatever happened to being able to be proud of your own country? I don't care where you live, because today, if you're proud of your own country, you're going to be labeled a racist. You're going to be labeled a hater. You're going to be labeled a bigot for being patriotic. Oh, you stand for the national anthem? How dare you? Oh, you quoted Winston Churchill? We're putting you in jail. And that, my friends, is not an exaggeration, because that actually happened also in the United Kingdom, where an individual actually quoted Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and it was considered hate speech because of things that Churchill had said about Islam, and he was put in jail. Whatever happened to being a proud patriot? People, we better wake up and see what is going on in the world around us and talk to our friends and our family and our neighbors and our coworkers, because it's getting to the point where we can't talk without fear of the ramifications, legal ramifications anymore. That's where we're at. And if we don't take back our countries, I fear the thought of what will happen. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
I want you to think back when you were in school. I don't care if you went to a public school or a private school. I don't care if you were homeschooled. I want you to think back at how you listened to your teachers. I remember on a couple of different occasions where I came home from school, both in the United States and then after we had moved to Israel, and I would argue with my parents because, no, my teacher told me something. They had to be right. You're wrong, because they're the teachers. Think of your mindset back when you were a student at how you looked at your teachers. It is no wonder we are today where we are. We had an incident in the United States just this week, and I want to touch on that because this is where we are sending our kids, and this is what they are learning. And again, connect the dots. This is why we are where we are. Now, everyone listening to this show right now, I'm sure you have heard that Barbara Bush passed away at 92 years old. I don't care what you thought about Barbara Bush. I'm pretty sure that you didn't dance in the streets. I'm pretty sure that you didn't throw a party. I'm pretty sure you didn't thank your God that Barbara Bush was dead. She wasn't a politician. She was the wife of a president and the mother of a president, something that only one other individual in history in the United States has ever been before. But a Muslim professor, and yeah, I'm going to call it for what it is, because the hatred has come out, a Muslim professor. And this woman is a professor in California, in the United States, at California State University in Fresno. It's also known as just Fresno State, but it's part of California State University's education system. She is a English professor, no less. And I point out that she's an English professor, and I'll get to that in a minute. She tweeted, she went on Twitter when Barbara Bush passed away. And I can't read everything she wrote because this woman who is a English professor, her choice of words is something I can't even say on the radio. But I will read to you most of what she said. Barbara Bush was a generous and smart and amazing racist who, along with her husband, raised a war criminal. F out of here with your nice words. And I'm saying F instead of using the word she used. Now, that wasn't good enough. She then said, either you are against these pieces of dreck, and I'll use the Yiddish term there, either you are against these pieces of dreck and their genocidal ways, or you're part of the problem. That's actually how simple this is. I'm happy the witch is dead. Can't wait for the rest of her family to fall to their demise the way 1.5 million Iraqis have. Bye. That was another tweet. But that wasn't good enough. Then she started receiving comments on Twitter in response. And she wrote, all the hate that I'm getting almost made me forget how happy I am that George W. Bush is probably really sad right now. And then she put a little emoji of a happy face. But that wasn't enough, because when people started calling for her to be fired, she tweeted, I work as a tenured professor. I make $100,000 a year doing that. I will never be fired. I have people wanting to hear what I have to say. Now, her name is Rhonda Girard. She's an English professor at Fresno State. Now, I, along with many, many other people, wrote the president of that university. I hope that that man received so much email and so many letters and so many phone calls that he didn't even get a chance to read mine. She has been put on leave while the university tries to figure out if she can be fired because she's a tenured professor. But what does any of this have to do with your kids? This is what is teaching your children. I have seen videos of this woman speaking. The F word comes out of her mouth multiple times per sentence. This is what is teaching our youth. The hatred that comes out of this Muslim woman's mouth is disgusting. Disgusting on any level. I don't care who you are. This is what is teaching our children. And don't sit there and say, oh, but Gotti, that's just one example. No, go and look at example after example after example. Go and pull up videos on YouTube of students that have recorded their own teachers be it junior high school, or college and universities that have that same attitude, that same hatred, where if you are not like them, you are wrong. If you are not like them, you are going to get a failure in their class. If you are not like them, you are a racist. You are a fascist. You are a bigot. Or as she put it, you are part of the problem. That is what our children are growing up learning. It is no wonder that our world is in the situation it is today. I've spoken on this show before about how when the Muslim Brotherhood came to the United States in the early 1960s, the very first organization they started in the United States was the MSA, the Muslim Student Association. And I've said before, because terrorists are a lot of things, but one of them is not stupid. They knew that the way to change the world, to get to their goal of an Islamic caliphate, of an Islamic domination the world over, was by going after the students first. And they built their entire network in the United States on top of the Muslim Student Association. And today, in the United States right now, we have more chapters on college universities throughout the United States, more MSA, Muslim Student Association chapters, than we have chapters of the Democrat and Republican parties combined. And if you live in the United States, and that one statistic doesn't just make you have a chill go up your spine, you've got an issue. This is where our children are getting their mindset. This is where our children are being told how to act. This is why you can go on to just about any campus in the United States today and proudly wave an ISIS flag and have people applaud you. And yes, that has been done and proven. But if you raise an Israeli flag in the exact same place by the exact same individual a day later and wave that flag, you have lit cigarettes flicked at you, you are spit upon, you are cursed, and you are threatened with violence. That was a video by one individual who wanted to point out how far we have gone backwards in today's society with our university students. Stand in a campus and wave the ISIS flag, and people say, oh, that's so wonderful. Look how diverse he's being. The flag of ISIS. But he tried to wave the Israeli flag in the exact same location, on the exact same campus, and was spit on. Is it any wonder that we see this going on throughout the world when our students, our children, are being indoctrinated to hate? Justice for Palestine? Teaming up with Hillel? Throughout campuses of the United States, people, wake up. I said at the end of the last segment, I fear what's going to happen to our countries. I really do. That's why I do this. Help me help you. And you should help yourself and help others. Educate yourself. Take 10 minutes a day. Read the Quran and the Hadith. Then educate others. Contact your local politicians. Put your foot down. Let people know you are not going to take it anymore before it is too late. We are really getting to that point throughout the world. And if you think that's an exaggeration, when you get done listening to this show, go read a newspaper. Go online and look at what is going on in the world around you. Not just with machetes. Not just with kite bombs. Not just with Molotov cocktails. Not just with guns. Look at what is being taught to your children. Get involved and put your foot down. I've had enough. Have you? Stay safe, everybody.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.